Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin in London, where the dynamics have changed for a foot race featuring two of Africa's greatest distance runners. Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya and Kenenisa Bekele of Ethiopia will compete October 4th in the London Marathon. But this 40th London Marathon will look much different than previous competitions. The race typically attracts up to 40,000 runners, while thousands of fans line the course to cheer them on. But because of the COVID-19 pandemic, only elite athletes like Kipchoge and Bekele will participate in October. And they'll run on a closed course within St. James Park in central London. No fans will be allowed. The London Marathon's race director is Hugh Brasher.
Today, I think, is a sad day, but it's also a day of certainty for people. But I hope it is also a day where we really can show the spirit of the London Marathon and that it can still be shown on the 4th of October. So by announcing that the gods of the sport will still be taking part in an elite race, in a government official elite sport under the COVID-19 regulations around St. James's Park, Eliud Kipchoge, Kenenisa Bekele, Brigid Kosgei, Manuela Shah, David Weir. And what we're asking is the 45,000 people that would have been making that incredible journey at 26.2 miles from Greenwich to Westminster with those other athletes, now that they make that journey in a different way, in their way, from their homes, on the 4th of October. And so the London Marathon will, in essence, for the mass, it will be a virtual London Marathon, but it's still a London Marathon of 26.2 miles.
That's Hugh Brasher, the race director of the London Marathon. Defending champion Eliud Kipchoge will be running for a record fifth London title. Last year in Vienna, Eliud became the first man to run under 2 hours for the marathon in an unofficial race. Kipchoge also holds the official world record of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. For his part, Kenenisa Bekele came within 2 seconds of Kipchoge's world record last year in Berlin. Kenenisa is a three-time Olympic champion, and he also holds the world records over 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters. Meanwhile, London is also where Gabon and Arsenal star Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang kissed the FA Cup after a sparkling performance at Wembley Stadium. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to the post-match report from Prince Nesta.
Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored twice to help Arsenal secure a 2-1 win over 10-man Chelsea in the FA Cup final for record-extending 14th crown in the competition and the sporting next season's Europa League. Chelsea had struck in the 5th minute when American star Christian Pulisic collected Olivier Giroud's fine flick on inside the penalty area and tucked the ball past goalkeeper Emiliano Martinez from close range. Aubameyang later scored a penalty kick in the first half before dancing past the opposition defenders to finish with his left foot in the 67th minute to ensure Arsenal salvage European action from a difficult domestic season after finishing 8th in the Premier League. The result is a massive one for the Gunners, who finished the season with a trophy, qualify for Europe and get revenge on their fellow London club after losing the Europa League final to them last season. Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta expressed his delight at the team's performance.
I am really proud of what we have achieved because I know the difficulties and everything that we've been through. For me personally, it's been so tough the last 6 months for a lot of things that have happened in our lives. But I had only one mission when I came here, and it was to make the players and the staff believe that we could do it. And we had to change that energy and that mentality. And just by seeing them in the dressing room all together, the way they enjoy now the profession and the time together, it's what it makes me more proud. And it's a consequence of that after we can achieve things and we can win titles together.
The Gunners manager also made a point of praising his captain's work ethic and superb performance.
Well, big games require big moments for big plays, and he's delivered that in the semi-final, and he's done it again in the final. And that's why you ask about those players. Some of them were questioning that he could not do it in big games. There we go. It was a big, big part on delivering this trophy. So he's done it, and we are so proud to have a player like him in our squad.
Chelsea manager Frank Lampard also heaped praise on the impact of the Gabonese striker during the FA Cup final.
He's a top-class player, and the second goal is the sort of speed and quality of a player of his level that wins games like this. We didn't play great today for us, but of course we competed in the game and had our chances, but moments like that from Aubameyang obviously finish you off. We shouldn't become too stuck on today. Of course we are tonight. We need to look at the season as a whole and what we've managed to do to come where we came in the league. It's a huge plus for us. Today would have been in the icing on the cake, but it wasn't to be.
There are plenty of questions surrounding his future in North London, provoking a response from the 38-year-old Arsenal manager.
Everything is based on my conversation with him. You know, how he sees his future, what I expect from him, the team that I want to build around him, and the conversation I had with the people that are very influenced around him. You know, the club, we all respect him, we admire him. The players are all behind him. We know the players that we have, and we have to value him. I think if we reach all of those points, I think we'll get an agreement with him.
Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, and Prince Nestor.
Sporting greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African sports news. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with South African rugby.
The South African government has approved the return to play conditions for professional rugby in the country amid the COVID-19 pandemic, allowing for domestic competitions to start in the first 2 weeks of September. South Africa's Super Rugby and Pro 14 teams have been inactive since March due to the COVID-19 pandemic. SA Rugby Chief Executive Jury Rocks in a media release confirmed that games games will be played behind closed doors. And now to athletics, where Egyptian pentathlon champion Hadi Mosi, who became the youngest Egyptian to qualify to the Olympics back in 2016, made another history this year when she became the first woman in Egypt to qualify for Tokyo 2020. Ahead of the postponed 2020 Olympics, Hadi Mosi says she's looking forward to a different Olympics.
I have 1 year now till Tokyo. My dream is different. Like 4 years older now, so I have to think differently.
Elsewhere, Kenyan athletes heading to the season opening Monaco leg of the World Athletics Diamond League are scheduled to undergo COVID-19 tests on Friday as part of the protocol to enable them travel to the French Principality for the August 14th meet. Timothy Chiriot, Conseslus Kipruto, Beatrice Chepkoech, Helen Obiri and Faith Kipyegon are the Kenyans invited for the season opener. The athletes are required to undergo a COVID-19 test at least 72 hours before they travel, while they will undergo further tests upon arrival in Monaco before setting their feet on the track. Staying with athletics, World Marathon bronze medalist and Kenyan Amos Kipruto says the COVID-19 pandemic has severely impacted his training program ahead of the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. Amos Kipruto, who represented Kenya for the first time in 2019 and who then went ahead to win the bronze medal in the men's marathon at the World Athletics Championships in Doha, has stepped up his training ahead of the Olympics.
From now is 1 year exactly. So you see now you are aiming to finish the program and come to rest, but now you start now to adjust your mind to say, oh, still have 1 year to train.
In hockey news, the African Hockey Federation has announced that this year's African Club Championship will go on as planned despite the effects of the coronavirus pandemic. The Federation released a reverse calendar for the year where the African Club Championship will now be held from the 30th of November to the 5th of December in Malawi. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitrović-Sredović, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. VOA's Jim Stevenson featured auto racing and a charitable lacrosse story in his latest Game Room Sports package. But Jim begins with Irish Cup football.
You know, we want to do the best job we can, not just for them, but for all of us, really, because, we know we're a bit of a pioneer here in bringing some fans back into live sport.
Patrick Nelson, Irish Football Association CEO, was on hand as Northern Ireland held the first football match in the UK since lockdown, with about 500 spectators in attendance to see the postponed Irish Cup final.
I don't think at the moment we've got specific steps that we want to set out, because we want to react to the circumstances that we see on the day. We'll analyse that, we'll see how well it went, and we'll put plans in place to expand that, both from the point of view of our own league, getting the Northern Ireland Football League back up and running for the next season, and also hopefully for crowds at international games over the autumn.
Nelson says while the fans had to be checked thoroughly before attending, the protocols also extend to the teams.
There's a lot of restrictions even in terms of the players and the coaches. So, for example, the team talks are going to be done on the pitch. We're using corporate lounges instead of dressing rooms because they're bigger. We're using hand sanitizers all over the place. We're sanitizing the balls, and we're putting them on ball tees around instead of having ball boys around. And we've got temperature checks coming in as well. And we've got temperature checks for the players, and they're going to be used for the spectators as well.
He says the seating arrangements were strategically made.
What we've done is we've put spectators behind both goals. So one team behind one team behind the other. And we've got, like we've seen in a lot of Premier League and Football League games, we've got sort of messaging banners along the main part of the seats, which aren't being used to get good messages out, particularly we're thanking the National Health Service and key workers, and we're using the UEFA No to Racism message, which is quite an important one.
And the usual boisterous party atmosphere at Northern Ireland games are now not including refreshing pints of ale.
It's going to be dry. You wouldn't be able to get a pint and watch the game anyway.
Irish FA CEO Patrick Nelson is assessing all that has been learned to project forward to games later this year and out of the country.
We're planning for our Nations League games. Our first one is away to Romania on the 4th of September. You know, we're in touch with UEFA. We're in touch with our friends in the Romanian FA. And of course, we're in touch with our government here on all the planning around that. And what will be, will be.
Punctured tires seem to be the story of Formula One's British Grand Prix, where Mercedes driver Lewis Hamilton won a record-extending seventh Silverstone victory. Lewis said he could hear Red Bull rival Max Verstappen catching up on the final stretch as Lewis struggled to get over the line with three functioning wheels, having suffered a puncture of his own on the final lap.
I made some switch changes to lock all the diff and just tried my hardest to get round without losing too much time, and I could hear him catching me. Just 30 seconds, 20 seconds. 19, 15, 10, 7, and I'm thinking, geez, this is one of the most horrible feelings, hearing someone catch you that lap and get overtaken just before the line or something. Thankfully, with everyone's support, we managed to bring it home.
Verstappen said he was happy with second, despite knowing that if he had not made a pit stop, he could have overtaken Hamilton to win the race.
Well, I mean, could have, would have, should have. You know, in a way, Lewis got lucky, but also unlucky because he got a puncture. At the end of the day, they were way faster than us, so they deserve to win that race. And I'm happy with second because I had a little present, of course, with Valtteri having a puncture, you know. So once he got a puncture, we were like, okay, well, we're going to just make sure that we are second. So we box, put new tires on, and do the fast lap. In a way, yeah, it's unlucky. Then, of course, you lose it by 5 seconds because Lewis gets a puncture. But is that lucky or unlucky? I don't know. I'm happy with second for them.
Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Russia held a nationwide running event in 85 cities, including Moscow, despite having a ban on mass events due to COVID-19. Russia currently has the fourth largest population to have been confirmed with the coronavirus. Organizers say 17,000 people in Moscow and 8,000 people in St. Petersburg participated. Russia Sports Minister Oleg Metsitsin hoped that the event marked a turning point for the country. For us, it's twice the festivities, as it takes place in the period when we are hopefully, conclusively over the pandemic. And I see the joy in the eyes of participants and organizers. We are returning to a normal life. Runners had the choice of covering distances between 1.5 kilometers and 21.1 kilometers. A runner in St. Petersburg was very happy. How cool that it happens in our beautiful city of St. Petersburg and the other 84 cities. Cities are also running. The half marathons across Russia happened at the same time, despite 11 time zones. We are lucky with today's weather. It's neither hot nor cold. Everything is perfect. Nobody disturbed us. All the roads were closed for us. It's wonderful. Organizers hope the event will be registered in the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest running event spanning dozens of cities. The Russian Athletics Federation has avoided expulsion from World Athletics after Russian Minister of Sport Oleg Metsitsin guaranteed to pay an outstanding fine.
The Russian Minister of Sport Oleg Metsitsin gave an unconditional commitment that the outstanding $6.3 million will be paid in full by no later than 15th August 2020. He also indicated his intention to support the reinstatement process moving forward.
Council Chairman Rune Anderson said the payment will allow drug-free Russian athletes to again compete in international events.
If those conditions are met, Russian athletes will be permitted to apply to compete as authorized neutral athletes in the international competitions taking place in 2020. The cap of 10 ANAs for World Athletics Series events and the Olympic Games that Council imposed in March will apply, although the only such event in 2020 is the World Athletics Half Marathon Championships in Virginia in October.
Anderson says the task force has seen very little in terms of changing the culture of Russian athletics in the past 5 years in the wake of the doping crisis which has surrounded the sport in Russia.
For the sake of clean Russian athletes, the task force hopes the payment will come through as promised and that the remaining conditions be met. If so, the task force stands ready to work with the members of the RUSAF Reinstatement Commission, including representatives of the Ministry of Sport, to bring about meaningful reforms in Russian athletics.
Russia was told that if all requirements were not met by December 2020, a Congress would be called to confirm expulsion with no appeal allowed. Russia's suspension has been renewed more than a dozen times since 2015. San Francisco teenagers and lacrosse players Owen Estee and Zach Apple found a way to both teach the sport that they love and help feed people in need when their season was canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic.
So just helping people out by doing the little things, just like donating a few $1,000 that can raise actually quite a few meals, really is helpful.
White Pony Express, where Eve Burge is the executive director of the local food organization.
The whole idea came around one night. It was maybe a week right after our Aquilani season had been canceled due to COVID. And Zach and I were kind of thinking, and we were chatting back and forth because we both really wanted to continue to play the game in a safe way that we could, you know, also maybe raise some awareness or some money for a good cause, especially with harsh times like these. Lessons would be pretty, that would be good for everyone involved, and we can take all the money and donate it to White Pony.
Teen lacrosse players Owen Estee and Zach Apple, teaching their sport to help others in need.
They've raised over $2,000, and that's over 2,000 meals. And so that those meals will go directly to agencies that serve homeless, that serve low-income seniors, foster youth, and then low-income kids and their families.
The Game Room opens with news stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
Yo, 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 for the greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carollo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to San Francisco, California, where there was a tie for the lead after the first round of the PGA Championship. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Jason Day and Brendan Todd fired 5 under par 65 to take the lead after the first round of the PGA Championship at Harding Park in San Francisco. They lead by just one shot from defending champion Brooks Koepka, who joins Xander Schauffele in a group of nine players at 4 under. U.S. Open champion Gary Woodland is among those next in line at 3 under, and Tiger Woods among those just 3 back after opening 68.
I made some good putts. For the most part of the day, I missed the ball on the correct sides. This golf course, you have to hit the ball in the fairway. You get a ball in the rough into the green, there's really no chance you can get the ball to the green. So I felt like I did a decent job of doing that. And the golf course is only going to get more difficult as the week goes on.
I'm Graham Agars.
Thanks, Graham. And that wraps up the August 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.